Right, so we're in Ephesians 4, and I must say, being stuck at home, not doing a lot, it's been good to actually, I've gone all through Ephesians, and just to remind me what a great book this is, this letter of Paul's, because it's got everything in there that we need as a teaching tool, actually. It's got kind of doctrine, if you like, at the beginning. The first three chapters tells us about our worth in Jesus. And then it goes on to talk about our walk and how we walk it out. And then towards the end, we're taught about warfare, because the reality is, you know, we need to know about these things. But we're looking at Ephesians 4 today. It's split up into two sections. The first bit about unity and the second half about Christian living. And I thought I'd just concentrate on the first bit, but then I realised I can't really, because the second bit is just as important. So I'm going to try and get through it all. So starting at the beginning of Ephesians 4, so looking at unity. This is in the NIV version, so if you've turned your Bible on, that's the version you need, or there are Bibles at the side if you want to follow it. So, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, and be patient, bearing with one another in love. And just to say, that word gentle in some versions says meek. So we're called to be humble and meek, and they are very different. Basically, in layman's term, being humble is to put others first. You know, we are called to put others before ourselves. And in being meek, one definition I found was about being gentle towards man, people, but yielded towards God. So we are gentle towards others and yielded towards God. And somebody used the example of a horse, a meek horse, because horses are powerful things. You know, there's no man alive that could control one physically, but they yield to their owner. So they have all this power, but they give over control to their owner. And so that's just something to be aware of, that, you know, we are all called to be humble and gentle, to be patient and bearing with one another in love. I said to Louise, I might not say this, but I'll say it, you know, you don't have to like me, but you do have to love me, because the Bible says so. We are called to love one another, you know, and that's not always easy. But then I think about my family, and there are members in my family I don't like very much, but I love them because they're my family, and that's what we are. We're a family. So it goes on to say, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lowly earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of the people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, a few weeks ago, Emma talked to us about the Holy Spirit, the gifts, and how it's one Spirit, but it apportions these gifts and qualities to us all so that we can be a unified church, be it at the small C, like here. God provides us with people with all the skills we need to cover everything. And you find when there is a gap, someone suddenly grows or is gifted and can grow up in that area. But as I was thinking about this word unity and what it really means and how important it is, but also what it doesn't mean, because you've only got to look at the world, and it's so diverse in its views, in its likes, in its dislikes. If we look at church, us as people, I mean, round here, if you say the word football, and it's whether you're a red or blue, and then whether you're a red here or a red somewhere else, because it seems to be red and blue almost in most counties that seem to be against one another. But we're still called to love one another, even if we support the opposite team. And there are many viewpoints, both about the Bible and what its interpretation is. You know, some fundamental things on predestination, double predestination, and free will. Let's not go there, but at the end of the day, that they are things that we might have different views about. But what it comes down to is Jesus and unity through him. And it just reminded me of one of my favorite passages, of which there are several, but I do love this one. In John 15, the vine and the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I love that picture of, you know, we're all attached to this vine, which is the lifeblood of the branches. And yes, we all get pruned. We go through times that are tough, very tough. But you know, to grow good grapes, you have to pare that vine right back, because the more you pare it down, the wider the trunk attached to the vine becomes, the more of the goodness of that vine comes through that branch and the greater the yield. So when we're pruned, when we go through tough times, God is calling us to be more attached, more into Jesus. And that's not easy, but that's where, as a church, we help one another in doing that. And when people are going through tough times, it's not wrong to steer people back to God, but to love them with the love that God gives us. And that is where the unity comes from, because we're all part of that same vine. We're all attached to that same vine, and we're all with the same aim, the fruit of God. And then also, it reminded me of this passage, which this means a lot to me. I only found, I'd read it, but it only meant something to me a few years back when I was doing training for prayer ministry. And it's the part in John 17 where he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it starts off before this, he prays for himself. And then he prays for the disciples that he's got with him, basically asking God to protect them and thanking God for them. But then he goes to pray for all believers. And that just resonated in my heart, that he was praying for me on that day. He was praying for you on that day. And he was praying for those that we haven't yet reached for Christ, but will. And he says, my prayer is not for them alone, meaning his disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them will be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Unity was at the core and heart of Jesus' love. The vine and the branches, and here he talks about me and them, and them and me and you. That's what came to me as I was kind of meditating over the word unity. That this is where we take that ability, I haven't got the words, that need, that desire to be unified, because we are unified at that point of contact with Jesus, at that point of acceptance of Jesus, at that point that he died for our sins, at that point that we're forgiven, at that point that we basically received our salvation. That is where we need to take ourselves to. And if in some way, allow it to break us, to remind us of our first love, to remind us of the one who so wanted unity in his body of Christ. He wanted a church. He brought a church about through the Holy Spirit. But because of what he did on the cross, that once we believe in him, we become his, us in him, him in us, and all of it in the Father, all connected and all together with the unity of the Spirit and unity with one another through love. And it just really took me back to, this is why we should love first. Doesn't mean we have to agree with one another. We don't all have to support the same team, have the same viewpoint on interpreting certain parts of the Bible. But we're called to love one another. And sometimes being part of the wider church and looking in from the world, they see as much disunity as we see in the world. But this is where I'm not here to criticize that. I'm here to just remind us as to why we should be unified. Get back to the first love. Get back to what Jesus wanted. Get back to the reason he died. He left heaven, came and was born a lowly baby in a stable, and went through all what he went through in life, and found this rabble of youth, you know, and loved on them, taught them, and set them off with his Holy Spirit to bring about a church, to bring love. And I just felt just so, well, repentant in some, you know, for my own judgment and my own differences, you know, and also a need to forgive others that I've seen bring disunity. But just to say that getting back to this, the actual fundamentals of who Jesus was and what he wanted for us. And so it's right to just have a look at Ephesians and the instructions for Christian living, it says in the NIV. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, and that this may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, God, forgave you. Now, there's a lot in there. It's worth reading, and it's worth asking God to just give us a check. You know, where do you want to work in me next, God? Because when I became a Christian, I was very fortunate to have quite an experience of the Holy Spirit. And immediately afterwards, I have never felt love like it. And not just love for me, but a love that was bursting out of me for my family and friends. I just couldn't wait to get home. I was over in Formby, Karen smiling because she was there. She gave a talk on the Holy Spirit. It's her fault I'm here. and because it was an Alpha course. And it was unbelievable. Have I maintained that level of love? No, I haven't, because life comes in and, you know, but you also mature. But I must admit, I do find it easy to love people. Before, I'd keep myself very much to myself in my own little introverted, neurodivergent world. But God's given me that empathy and that heart for people, which is sometimes quite hard to have. But what I'm trying to say is that all the things that we need to check ourselves against. And it isn't a one-time thing, is it? Because it's a walk with God. You know, and I look back over the first 3 years of being a new Christian and seeing that it was like steps up. It was like, God, let me walk up along for a little in this haze of this, honeymoon period. And then he'd kind of go, and it'd be at an evening service. But Jane, what about this? And I'd be like, didn't think you'd seen that. And it was, you know, and changing progressively. I love that thing, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Before I became a Christian on that day, my potty mouth, Jane. They used to do these 360 assessments where people who work for you could fill in and say what they thought of you as a manager. And this one girl, Sarah Brown, who was a Christian, who put the invite to the Alpha course on my desk very bravely, said, noisy and swears a lot. But everybody in work noticed that I went somewhere at the weekend, came back and never swore again. It was so noticeable. Hold my hand up, that's not always the case forever, but that was a big transformation, you know. I must admit, it's sometimes been a challenge in the past, but it's something God spoke to me again recently and said, Jane, need to deal with that. And so that conviction comes in before it even comes out of my mouth, I find. What I'm trying to say is that it's a walk with God, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, if we allow him to work, if we allow that branch to be pruned. And in a way, that's something I just want to talk about, that you can do this in your alone time. You can sit with the Bible. You can ask God to, you know, reveal things to you. You can ask the Holy Spirit to come and do a work in you. But one thing that has really helped my walk here is asking others to pray with me, especially in this evening service where we allow this time and space. And that is something we really want to encourage more. We used to have a regular prayer team here. And we don't want to go down that route anymore, but we still have people who are trained in prayer ministry, and they'll always be available to you of an evening. They always have been, but we just want to make it more upfront that this is available to you. But we want to encourage you guys to pray with one another, because this inviting the Holy Spirit to do a work in us can really set us free from things, bring us peace, because of all those things that, you know, God tells us about the Holy Spirit. I've got some verses here I just want to whiz through. I won't read them all, but just the, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, God wants to pour out his Holy Spirit. He wants to help us change, because we can't keep changing and improving without his help. You run dry. You literally do. You run dry and you run into problems. The world out there, life in general, you know, we all trip over boulders. Big things come in our life. There are many of us who've lost people over the years, and that is such a big thing. And this, just ask people around you to pray for you. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Because without the Spirit, we won't keep in step. We will walk off this narrow path. And it's like I said, this create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. That's something we can ask as we're reading the Bible, for God to illuminate where we need to work. And then it's good to share what God's saying with people. Find your safe person to speak to and ask for prayer. I love this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. I remember feeling that, feeling so new, so different. But I do want to say that we all need to keep in step with the Lord, and we all need to look and see what we need to be improving of ourselves, but only as he directs us. What does he want us to change? You know, and he will help us do that. Sometimes you're not asking that, but he tells you anyway. But listen to him. Don't ignore him. Because if you're like me, when I've done that, I go away and I have this like heavy stone for the week until I can come back into church and speak to someone, get the prayer, or, you know, do the repentance that I need to do. Because we should not ever think that we repent when we become a Christian and we don't need to do it again. Because there's such freedom in that repentance. But also I think it's very important to remember this, that it says in Romans 8, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus and walk in the Spirit, it says in some versions. And I just think that is important, because sometimes things being said from the front can make us feel very heavy, judged, condemned. That's not of God, and that's not of the person speaking from the front. That's not of the people around you. Because God loves you as you are. There is nothing you can do that will make God love you more than he already does. He's already done the one thing he needs to do for us, and that's go to the cross. He can't do any more than that. And it doesn't matter what our lives look like. God loves us. You know, we're not called to judge and condemn others. We're called to know God and let him hold the mirror up to us and love others as they do the same for themselves, and walk with them, walk with one another, because sometimes it can be a hard walk when God's asking us to change. But the one thing I will say, when I pray with people and I see God at work in them, I fall even more in love with Jesus than I was before. I have loved being part of the prayer ministry. I do believe it's one of the things that made me stay here when I was just looking for a church, because I'm not from a Christian background at all. And I was amazed that these people would just stand and pray with you. And so even before I spoke to anybody else in the congregation, I literally felt the Holy Spirit drag me over to Ron and Catherine, I think it was at the time. And I became a regular visitor, and such that they invited me on the team. And I guess what we want to encourage you as a church, from the leadership and from the elders, is to say, be open to this and ask for prayer. We've got people here who've had training, but some of you, as I'm talking about this, you might think, actually, I'd like to know a little bit more about that. And if you would, and you'd like to join the team that have the training, then speak to me, speak to Louise, and we'll see if we can do a training night. But those of us that have training would like to just be the ones that watch, not in a cheesy way, keep an eye on you, but we can be there to call upon if you need our assistance. If you don't know, because sometimes when you pray for people, they can cry, they can laugh. And if you're not quite sure, because this person seems in distress, or you're worried about what they're sharing with you, but they're okay with you to then come and share it with one of the team, then we can come in and help pray. But there's nothing magic or special about anyone who's had the training. We can all pray with one another. I'm going to invite Louise up, who's going to share something with us about spending some time in prayer over what's happened this week with the M53 crash. But I just want to demonstrate something to you, my guinea pig.
I actually know what's coming next.